Amen. Amen. What a blessing. We do appreciate these. And I don't know what all awards y'all got and all, but Brother Tony mentioned this to me and asked me about mentioning this about Miss Ambry. And she got the principal's award. Actually, the principal recognized one student out of Gurr High School, and Miss Ambry got that. That's demonstrating exceptional academic achievements, strong leadership qualities, and positive contributions to the school community. It's a way for the principal to acknowledge a student who has gone above and beyond in their studies and who has shown outstanding character and involvement. The academic excellence has to have a 3.75 GPA. That knocked me out. A student who demonstrates leadership through involvement in clubs, sports, other activities for all 4 years of high school. Character, a student who embodies strong character traits like responsibility, citizenship, kindness for all 4 years. Community contribution, a student who has contributed to the school community and volunteering and participating in school events for all 4 years of high school. Amen. What an accomplishment and what a blessing that is. But we're thankful. 12 years. Well, most of you have been in school for, if y'all between 17 and 19, you've been in school 13 to 14 years of your life. And some of you are going on, and some of you are doing different things. That's one thing about it. You don't have to have it all figured out just right now. Amen. Everybody's not like me. God figured mine out. The year after I graduated, he called me to preach and put me in Bible college. And all that is history. But God is good. I want you to take your Bibles. I'm going to preach a short charge to these young people today. And we'll get right. We do have a meal for them and their families and ever who they've invited after the service. Not for the church-wide meal, but for them and their families. So we're going to get to that also. But in the book of Matthew, chapter number 14, this is a very familiar text. A lot of messages, sermons come out of this text by me and others. But yet I want to use it today to preach a thought and a charge to these graduates. But folks, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. Even though the message may be geared to our graduates, the Word of God applies to everybody. Amen. There's something here for everybody. There's something that God wants for you this morning. So don't say, well, this whole message don't even apply to me. Yeah, it does. The Word of God will apply to you. And you'll get something from God's Word if you come looking for something from God's Word. Now notice in verse 22, the Bible said, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now you may be thinking, how in the world can you preach a message to the high school graduates from that text? Well, we're about to try to show you. And I want to talk to them a little bit today on this thought, stepping out to the unknown. Stepping out into the unknown. Now, I want to use some illustrations. Now, number one, we saw a ship. Now, that's going to represent to you today high school. Now, this ship was one thing that Peter knew. He was a fisherman all his life. He'd have been around ships. His dad taught him how to sail ships and how to fish and how to be a part of the ship. Now, he knew that better than anybody. Now, that ship here represents high school. Nobody here today knows high school better than the five sitting on the front pew. We don't know high. I don't know. I knew high school, but I don't know it now. But nobody here knows it better at this day than these five young people that's sitting here. High school is one thing that you know. At this point, again, you know it better than anybody. Again, the majority of your life, except for most of you probably started K-3, K-4. I mean, your mom and daddy just throwed you in school fresh out of diapers. I mean, your whole life has been in school. It's just like when I worked at International Wire, there was a fellow there, and he asked me, he said, "How old are you?" And I told him, I wasn't 21, 2 years old, something like that. And he had been there, working there, probably 40 years of time. And he looked at me and said, "There ain't nothing you can tell me about the wire business." And I said, "You're right. There's nothing I can tell you about that." And folks, so today, there's nothing we can tell you about high school. Amen. But thank God you've been delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. You have, just like Paul said, "I have finished my course." The course that you've had all your life since 3, 4, 5 years old has been school. Been getting your studies done. I mean, you have requirements every year, and you know that, and you set your heart, you set your mind. That was familiar territory for you. So that ship, it represents high school, but then there was a storm that came. That storm represents the world. The storm was raging all around Peter. The wind was blowing in every direction, rain was falling, and thunder rolling. The world is raging around you. See, you are the future of not only the world, you're the future of the church. You're the future of being what leaders are. You're the future. So Satan's automatically trying to figure out how he's going to mess with you. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. The world's around you, and the world is made up of the devil. The devil's the god, the little g god of this world. So what he's trying to do now is figure out how to trip you up the rest of your life. He's trying to get you to make decisions that's not right. He's trying to get you to go a direction that is not his will. And all that is raging around you. The wind of temptation is blowing strong. The thunder of Satan's pull is everywhere. The Bible tells us to be sober, to be vigilant. In other words, be alert. Even though this is a time of celebration, this is a time that you ought to be happy and you ought to be excited. And I mean, wow, what a blessing. But at the same time, always be aware that we have an adversary. You have friends and you have family. You have many, many people in your corner, and God being the main one. However, here is Satan that's trying to get you to make a bad decision now. He's trying to get you to go the way of the world and it's party time now and ruin your life before it ever gets started. You don't have to do that. But the storm, the world is raging around you. It's raging everywhere. And so we see the storm is a picture of the world, but then there's safety. See, it was inside the ship. Even though the ship was tossed with waves and waves crashed against the ship, there was still a sense of security and safety inside there. And that's what high school's been for you. I mean, I didn't say everything in school during your school time was a bed of roses. It wasn't easy. You had problems. I mean, you had peer pressure. You had classes, you had all kind of things that would rise up against you, but yet it still was a place of security. It was a place of safety. And folks, sometimes I wish at 55 years old, I could go back to that time of security. Amen. All I had to do was go to school. And there's nothing, I'm not belittling these kids. That's a wonderful thing. I remember I probably told this a million times doing these things, but I remember my senior year, our guidance counselor brought us all in one at a time. And Ms. Wilson was a great lady. And she said, "What is your goal? What do you see for your future?" And being the smart aleck that I was, my answer to her was getting out of here. And her response, "Tommy, these are the best days of your life." And I thought she'd done smoked dope before I walked in there. But she knew exactly what she's talking about. Everything in high school wasn't easy. There was problems. There was storms. There was all kind of things. And I wish I could go back and redo a lot of stuff. But still, there was a place. It was a place of time in my life that I look back. It was safe. It was safe. I had school. I had teachers. I had parents. I mean, I had friends. Everything was neat. But now we're about to step out to something different. But even though we have the ship that represents high school, the storm, the world, safety, but then we have the Savior, praise the Lord. Jesus was there. We rejoice in the assurance of His presence, and I'll say a lot more about that here in a moment, but yet the day came when Peter was ready to get out of the ship. All that time, most of his life was spent inside the ship. The world was everywhere, but he was inside the ship. He was in school. But the day came when it was time that he graduated from the ship to the unknown. Actually, we see a great picture of him stepping out in faith. He didn't know. You say, "What do you mean didn't know?" Folks, he'd been in the ship. He had never walked on water. And I'll pause right here. Don't criticize Peter for beginning to sink. He's still the only man. Jesus was God incarnate. He's still the only man that's ever walked on water. Amen. Nobody else. Those boys in the boat couldn't say that. They probably talked about him, criticized him, and said, "That's what's going to happen. When you step out in faith and your life begins to grow, they're going to be people, hey, you talk with your friends, going to sit back, huh? Who do they think they are? Don't listen to them." I can imagine. I know Baptists. They're all Baptists on that boat. I can imagine they're probably saying, "Who does he think he is? Oh, he's Mr. Big Shot. Well, that big mouth's going to get him in trouble now." But he still walked on the water. He's still doing something they never did. He's still accomplishing things they never could accomplish. So you set your eyes on Christ. That's what Peter did. He set his eyes on the Lord, and he done things he never thought he'd ever get to do. And I want to say this, and this is I've got four simple quick thoughts, and we'll go eat. Maybe it's just my stomach growling. But we'll go eat. But yet, he kept his eyes on the Lord. He didn't worry. He wasn't concerned with the chatter behind him. Sometimes you got to just keep moving. The chatter's going to happen. People's going to criticize you. They're going to talk about you. Y'all experienced all that in the safety of school, too. I'm sure teenagers hadn't changed much. Amen. Just to be like I used to be, don't care what they say. If they say it loud enough, pop them in the mouth, Will. All right? No, I'm just kidding. Amen. I'm joking. Amen. But we have the Savior. Now here's what happened when Peter stepped out of the boat. When Peter stepped out by faith in the unknown, here's what happened to him. Number one, it was a time of separation. What do you mean? Well, here he was. Nobody else was going at that moment in his direction. Get a hold of that. See, now it come time, instead of following the crowd, being in the clique, being in the crowd, now he had to make a decision, what I'm going to do with my life personally. Get a hold of that. And see, your friends might not like the direction you're going, but you know the direction God wants you to go. Just step out. You may have to separate from friends. That is, you know, I didn't think that would be weird to me. But that was weird to me. I mean, I was used to being around my wife, well, she was my sweetheart then, and my friends, Tim, and now, I mean, the direction God sent me, God called me to preach. God sent me in a direction wasn't nobody else going in. And I mean, there ain't nobody else in my class went in that direction. But that's the direction God put me in. And it's, you know, it's a lonely feeling sometimes. It was lonely. I was on the second shift before the Lord called me to preach. And I mean, you feel like, man, it's strange. You wake up. I mean, right now there's excitement and everything, but Monday, Tuesday, or when school starts back, you're not going. See, Peter come up with a time where he says, look, it's time for me to get out. I'm graduating. It's time for me to step out. It's time for me to move forward. And nobody else was going his direction. And then that leads me up not only a separation, a time of stepping away, but it was scary. I mentioned that verse 30, the first part. Verse number 30, I'll get there in a second. Where was I at? Here we go. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Stepping away from everything he knew to something he didn't know, the scenery, everything changed. You're going to be scared. Going to be scared. When I went to, the first night I went to Tabernacle Baptist College for orientation, And to sign up and all that stuff you do, get your books. I knew that was the will of God for me, but I was scared. I was terrified. And I felt like I was the only one there that was afraid. The rest of them was shouting in the hall. They'd get a textbook and they'd go to shouting about it. And I'm sitting here, my dad went with me. And when we got back home, I went straight to my bedroom. My dad told my mama, said, he'll be there about 2 weeks. My mama said, why would you say that? She said, that boy was scared to death. I'm talking about a boy that played football. But I was in a place, I felt alone. I felt like, man, this is different. I mean, I was around good Christians, but I wasn't around people that you thought that they was just putting on. We got to watch people. Like, man, they was hand in hand with Jesus. And they was as backsliding heart most times I was. But but God, I knew God put me there. And 4 years later, I got to graduate from there. So it's scary. You don't go, hey, you going to go to a place, either a school, or you're going to go to a job, or you're going to go somewhere, and you ain't going to know anybody. You know what you're going to want to do? Run back home. Run back to high school. But I hate to tell you, you can't run back to high school. They're done with you. Amen. But then the place of separation is scary. Then I think about sinking. He said when he saw all of that, he began to sink. You know, I mean, it overwhelmed him. And he felt like, man, I'm drowning in this. I'm going under. It's over. You're going to feel that way. You're going to feel that way. But then there's the Savior. That's where I'm wanting to get to. In verse 31, Peter began to sink and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I want you to notice that. He didn't cry out to his parents. He didn't cry. And I'm not saying not to talk to your parents. Please understand that you got good parents. They're there for you. Just like mine was. He didn't look behind him and cry out to any of those boys in the boat. He cried out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. What did he find out? That Jesus was near, no matter where he was. You may feel alone. You may feel like you're sinking. You may feel like, man, this is awful. But remember, Jesus made y'all a promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus was near Peter, but also he was able to help him. Immediately, what did he do? He helped him. And folks, young people, get to anybody here. You go, hey, I'm glad we have a God in heaven. And he's always near. And he's always able. And he's always willing. It's one thing I want to encourage you. I don't know what y'all got going. I know you're going the lander. I do know that. But I don't know where the rest of you are going or what you're doing. I think I know what you're doing too, going to Bible college. But yet, that pressure is going to be real. You're going to make adjustments and then you're going to get accoladed to it all. But what the devil's going to want you to do is forget God. He's going to put you in a place, I want you to forget God. I want you to mold yourself after the worldly thinking, the worldly actions, the worldly doings. And I want you to yield yourself to that. Don't do that. See, what was happening here, Jesus was adjusting Peter, getting him ready for bigger things. Yes, Peter did fall short a few times. He made mistakes. We could talk about Peter's mistakes. He denied the Lord. He got right with God, wept bitterly. But the Lord's plan through Peter all had to do with these things right here. Started with this. God broke off some rough edges and matured him and molded him. That's what's going to be happening with you. I mean, you had a place, you're a whole lot more mature now than you was in kindergarten. In first grade, second grade, and so you have another level of it. And the only way that God can mature you to where he wants you to be, it's going to take some hard times. It's going to take some struggles. It's going to take a little pain. It's going to take some pressure, but keep your eyes on him. And if you take your eyes off him for a second and you feel yourself sinking, he's still there. Call on him. Call on him. Stay close to him. I've used this sermon a lot of different ways. But when they went back to the boat, I believe Peter was clinging to the Lord. I believe he's holding on to him. I believe you couldn't have got a toothpick between them. And that's your life. I don't know where you're headed. I don't know what you're going. You may be going to take a year off and not do nothing. That's okay. That's all right. At least help mama clean the house, do something. I don't know what your plans are. But you have made a great accomplishment. You have stepped out of that boat. You've stepped out of that ship. And now you're moving forward to what else God has for you. I have all the confidence in the world. I have no doubt in the world. And of course, when I say success, the world has a definition for success that maybe is not mine. Success to me is knowing you're born again. Knowing you're saved, having that relationship with Christ. Number two, putting him first. Number three, saying this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, we'd love for all of you to be in full-time Christian ministry. But folks, God needs Christian teachers. God needs Christian nurses. God needs Christian mechanics. God needs Christian builders. God needs Christian policemen. You see, I went to school in 88, policemen. But the main thing is Lord. That Lord is a title of authority. That he always keep him first. Always keep him in charge. Because there'll never be any peace. There'll never be any contentment. There'll never be any joy outside of his will. Never. In my life, your life, everybody here's life. There'll never be any contentment outside the will of God. In the world, you can have fun. There's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. It'll drop you. It'll leave you. But in the Lord, with the Lord, there's joy and contentment forever. Even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of storms of your life, in the midst of all kind of stuff that you face, being in the perfect will of God is the best and safest place in the world to be. Safest place to be is in the will of God, in the perfect will of God. And so, I don't know what you're praying about. I don't know where you're going to be, but know the Lord's going to be there. Know that we're praying for you, and we're in your corner, and we love you. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Miss Courtney, you come.